This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105 Radio.
And it's a real pleasure to welcome my first studio guests of the afternoon. I've got Kaylee and Sharon, or Sharon and Kaylee, because Sharon's the boss, to be honest, from Cameo Recruitment. Very good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
All right, so normally you think, okay, recruitment company, you're in talking about recruitment. You're not.
No.
You've held a domestic abuse seminar.
We have.
Yes.
Why?
So I am personally a survivor of domestic abuse myself. Okay. So I set up Cameo Recruitment last year, not only to recruit, obviously that's our day job, but to use as a platform to raise awareness of domestic abuse. So for us, holding a seminar seemed like the best thing to do. We've got reach into the Cambridge market of businesses. So the whole seminar really was aimed at local businesses coming along to find out how to support their employees, but also find out more about domestic abuse and what it actually is.
I was going to say, so what do we define as domestic abuse? Well, I mean, there are the typical stereotypical images that you get, but what can it range from?
I was actually quite shocked by this. So I sat down next to Sharon 6-7 weeks ago now, and we went through a wheel of domestic abuse, and there was so many things on there, one of which was financial abuse. So, you know, somebody who is not in control of their own wages. Now, I wouldn't have necessarily seen that actually as a form of abuse, but it's about how that partner is then managing them or managing their money. Are they controlling it?
Mm.
And that was quite shocking for me, that as a form of domestic abuse, there were several on there that I wouldn't have even...
I think definitely what you're saying is right. Over time, it's definitely changed. I'd say even 10 years ago, it was domestic violence, and that's what people knew it as.
Right, change of emphasis.
The physical side of things, which people thought, you know, the black eye, those kind of things, that's what domestic violence was. Actually, it's more the coercive behaviour, the controlling behaviour, the mental effects that really, huge, that people can't see, which are... so big and
it's
so
interesting
important.
Because before we came on air, Kaylee, you said this, we're kind of at this is where mental health was 10 years ago.
Yeah,
and it is, it's that physical appearance of domestic violence. That's calling out too easy, isn't it?
Someone walks
into an office with a black eye, someone's nowadays going to go, where'd you get that from?
Of course.
But so you can't be seen to be doing that. But there's other ways that that you can control and influence.
No one's going to say, oh, my husband or my wife punched me this morning. No,
sure.
You know, they might, very unlikely that they're going to be outright say, oh yeah.
So it's definitely the manipulation side of things as well that people don't see. So from the seminar, and we had Cambridge Women's Aid there with us, obviously experienced in that area, they basically did a really amazing talk for us on what domestic abuse actually is, but also the signs that you might see in your employees. So, for example, if someone is invited out to a social gathering, if they never come, or if they do come and they're constantly looking at their watch and they're panicking, obviously everyone's different, and it might be that they're not affected by domestic abuse.
Just don't like going out with you lot.
But it's those signs that people may not have seen before that now...
Sudden, albeit subtle... changes in somebody's behaviour.
And presumably as well, if you've got single men or women, because I mean, let's be clear here, we are talking about domestic abuse.
Definitely.
It can work both ways.
Yeah.
But if you know someone has recently changed relationship, then you might see a change in behaviour, and that might be a real sign, isn't it?
And I think Sharon will agree here that to everybody else outwardly, they could still look very much themselves.
Mm.
We are talking really, really subtle changes in a person. So if you're a large company, the director may not necessarily notice that this person has suddenly changed.
Yeah.
But if you're somebody that sits next to that person, you might be the person that actually says, something's changed here.
I think, it's the people within the business that can see. So obviously a lot of the people that we had come to the seminar were directors, a lot of HR managers, HR people. But hopefully from the feedback that we've got already is that they are going to go back to their companies and look at putting in a domestic abuse policy, which will filter down to those managers so that the managers are aware as well, the team leaders are aware.
Mm.
So everyone within that business has more of an idea, which hopefully will make a difference to people, but also the people that maybe are being affected will feel more likely to confide in their employers.
I was going to say, if you know it's there, then you might be tempted to step forward. But you've got to presume, you've got to be so careful, haven't you?
Yes.
Because you start raising subjects like
this,
only needs the wrong thing to get back, or an email to be sent that someone could, or a message on a phone or something like that, and you really could be opening a can of worms, couldn't you? So as employers, there's, I guess, some real guidance that you can offer.
Yeah. It's key, I suppose, to get it right.
Yeah, because I think, obviously, you know, it is so important with safeguarding people. Mm-hmm. If you are looking to leave an abusive relationship, it's actually proven that statistically when you leave that relationship is when you're most in danger because that person will lose control of you. So actually it's not a case of going to your employer and saying, right, I've had enough, I'm leaving today. Mm. But the employer will now have hopefully some more knowledge of who to or how to signpost. Yeah. So they will then look to go to people like Hamish Rimmer's Aid and get them into the workplace to speak to these people to actually give them the advice and actually understand their situation, because every situation is different, but allow them to be protected while they get out of the relationship. So it's not a quick fix by any means. It's not a case of going and saying, this has happened to me, the next day everything's fine. It's not. It's a long journey. But the most important thing is that everyone understands the potential risk that is that, obviously, for their victim at the time.
Obviously, you've got, as you say, you've got that, it really is cats out the bag at that point, isn't it? If you walk out the door, as you say, you can imagine being tracked, followed, whatever.
Yes.
But presumably, you are very much at risk of being in total isolation. You can be, there may be kids left at home. There's as you say, financial control. It's all very well saying you can leave. What with?
Yeah,
if you've got no access to any money, what about your phone? What about email? How do you catch somebody who literally... Sharon, you've been there.
Yes.
How do you do that walking out the door?
I think the thing is, it's knowing where the support is and actually confiding and having the confidence to trust people. I was fortunate. I had good family and friends. So I didn't actually seek advice from professional services at that time. Financially, I was in a different situation. I had my own job and it was full time. So I was able to support myself. Not everyone is fortunate enough to be in that situation. Mm. But that's where people like Cambridge Women's Aid can step in. They have a refuge. So people can go into refuge. Obviously, it's not ideal. But if you're living in a situation where you're not happy,
it's not ideal anyway.
Being abused, and anything is better than that. So that's where we sort of are saying you need to get people in and actually get the knowledge and as much information as you can before you make that step, because then you know what steps you're taking. But people like Cambridge Women's Aid are fantastic. They give advice and they advise case by case rather than looking at a bigger picture, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So I do think that's where. Also, the lack of knowledge is people would just assume that you just tell someone, well, why are they in that relationship? Just leave.
That's the easy answer.
So I think, you know, I definitely say the feedback we've had now has been really positive.
Eye-opening for a lot of people, I would say.
And having more of an understanding of actually how to help.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, again, one of my other questions was going to be, this is fine. We've sort of kind of talked about spotting it. We've talked about broaching the subject and then sort of coaxing people to get to the point where they can then maybe get themselves to a safe place, get away from that abusive relationship.
Yes.
But ongoing, you must need there's day one support you need, but ongoing support must also be critical, mustn't it?
There's definitely support moving forwards. And I think, again, employers, this is the big part that they can offer. So people may need counselling. Can you allow them time off to go to counselling? Do they need to go to court? There's a lot of these things, unfortunately, end up in court with a battle, and that could be time off work. But don't make your employers take time off for holiday
support
them, compassionate, see where you can help as well. And be there to listen to. And, you know, there will be times that people maybe are late in for work because they're trying to find their feet. They may have children and they've all of a sudden found themselves as single parents.
Mm.
Understand the situation. And I think that is the thing. And it could, some people recover very quickly. Other people, it can go on for years. You know, and there's situations of people that I know that are actually okay for the first couple of years, and then it really hits them what's happened, and then they have to have counselling later on. So again, it's, I think, looking case by case is the biggest thing.
Okay, excellent. Now, we mentioned earlier on, as we said, now you talked about Cambridge Women's Refuge, and obviously the majority of cases are going to be for women. I'm guessing, especially in an employment situation, for men, it there's that macho bit again, isn't there? I know what I'm
definitely.
Like. You're not going to want to talk about it, are you? You can't. That must be equally, or even more tough in some ways, for a man to open up to an employer and go, you know what, I've got these problems at home and it's this. But are we seeing equal support for men and women, or...?
I think we're getting there. I think that it's true that there's one in four women, one in six men who are affected by domestic abuse.
Right.
And I think for me, it's a simple thing. A business has a policy in place. Now, that policy is available to everyone. Everyone knows where to find it. Yes. Everybody knows who their confidential person is that they can speak to, and they can speak to them. They can confide with them in confidence. And it's potentially even beneficial to have a mixture of men and women that somebody can speak to. Because it's true that as a woman, I would find it easier talking to a woman about that, personally. No, that's me personally. As a man, I would imagine that it's the same. If there's a man in your business who is happy to be that person, it doesn't have to be one. There could be two or three, four or five, however big your business is, that person is your point of contact. And I guess you would select that point of contact within the policy. You'd see who they are.
Yeah, it's
got to be somebody who's fairly empathetic. You know?
But also it's about being human. Yeah. If somebody comes to you about that, regardless of who you are in a business.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
If it's your business, if you're the director, if you're the CEO, if somebody came and spoke to me about that, I would be a human.
You'd like to think, wouldn't
absolutely,
you?
Absolutely.
You'd like to think.
Yeah, I really hope that if you're taking on that role and you're passionate about stamping it out, ultimately, you're the kind of person that actually can get down at a human level and say, this is rubbish.
Okay. Now, obviously, you held this seminar, you had a load of businesses come along. So are we starting to see that this is something that business... Because people, when they go to... Employers get interviewed the same as the prospective employees nowadays, don't they?
Yes.
Well, you know, talk about me coming to work for you, but let's talk about your corporate social responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about your attitudes to this and that. Are you seeing employers have a willingness now to
definitely.
To do this?
Yeah, it's getting that way.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think... obviously, employee well-being is huge in all sense of the word, really. Mm. So obviously mental health, which links into domestic abuse as well. Just general well-being for people. But we were actually really surprised at the uptake for the seminar. It was something that's not been done before. So we thought maybe we'd get two people there. We weren't sure. It was one of those, we trialled it. And actually we ended up with 29 businesses, a lot of the large companies in Cambridge. And the potential reach that we've got from the employees there is 24,545 people.
Good Lord.
In total. So there's a lot of people, but a lot of businesses are definitely interested.
Just quoting the numbers that you threw at me, Kayleigh, hang on a minute, 24,000 people, you're saying one in four women, that's a lot of people in that target area.
Yeah.
That's a huge number of people.
Oh yeah, huge.
And that's just from 29 businesses. That's the number of total employees.
So if those businesses, you know, just analyse their staff, you know, had their eyes open a little bit more, we're talking hundreds, thousands of people.
Literally change lives. You're changing the lives of people.
That's crazy numbers, isn't it?
It kind of actually, it brought a tear to your eye, didn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's amazing.
It just, you know, in this civilised world we live in, it doesn't half make you sit up and think, doesn't it?
Definitely. Absolutely.
Did all right, so you had number one. First of all, I'm guessing there's going to be people listening going, what about some follow-up on this? Is there somewhere I can find out what went on? Is there footage? Is there anything in particular online? And when's the next one? It's obviously going to be the next.
So we've got, obviously, the presentations and all of the... We gave out packs with information in, which we can supply to people. So if people are interested, they can email office@cameorecruitment.com.
Cameo is spelt with a K.
It's K, so K-A-M-E-O, recruitment.com. And we will happily share all of the information. Moving forward, we're definitely looking into doing either this same seminar but replicated maybe in South Cambridge, because we were in North Cambridge near the Science Park this time, or definitely looking at doing more seminars moving forward. Really, we're looking at sort of getting feedback from the people that came to see if there's other things after a couple of months of them maybe implementing things, if they feel that they would need a bit of training on, or there's questions going that arise from that, and revisiting certain
larger
areas.
Businesses we thought might particularly that they might want us to go back, or even a large business that didn't attend actually might think, this is something we do really need to do more.
Well, I think you have to say, even if you take your numbers and stick 10%, you know, let's call it 10% of that, there's still hundreds.
I don't think they'll ever... It's a horrible, horrible thing, and it shouldn't exist, but it does.
Fact of life is. It
always will, but the more awareness there is and the more people are doing, actually those that are and always will be affected, at least they know there's a door, there's someone they can talk to, and I think that's
definitely
hugely important.
Well, listen, hats off to you both for organising this.
This is what
it's all about. This is business and doing its job.
Yes.
Looking after, we're talking about this so much more nowadays. We hear about companies that sort of just milk their employees dry. This is turning business round and actually stepping in to help where perhaps others may struggle to help.
Yeah.
Actually, a business maybe can do it.
Yeah.
So just remind us, if people want to find out more, that that web address and the email address?
So the email address is office@cameorecruitment.com. So
Cameo is spelled with a K.
Alternatively, if they want to speak to us, they can. Our phone number is 01223 607 670.
All right, there you go. And those details, the podcast will be up on the Cambridge 105 Radio website in a couple of days, so you'll be able to nab those details. If you're driving along or whatever, you can't write it down, just contact me here in the studio and I'll pass you those details on. But for now, Sharon Livermore, Casey DeLacy from Cameo Recruitment, thank you so much for coming in today. It's good to hear that something's being done, and we'll watch this very closely. Thank you.
Thank you very much.